This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. It's open for business. It's A La Carte Tuesday, where we get entrepreneurs from the F&B industry to share their insights and adventure. So after several years of being in the corporate sector, Ayman Said Jaffar and Ali Ishaq decided to take their coffee interest to the next level by opening the Double A Cafe. I've worked out what Double A meant, Ayman and Alia. And they're both still working in the corporate sector while doing this, right? What made you guys decide to do this?
Well, in my case, for me, I was previously working in London. And I think at that time, we used to love doing all this cafe hopping thing over the weekend. So every weekend, we will have a new cafe to try out. So we thought, like, when I came back and I met Ayman, he's a coffee enthusiast. So we thought, like, why don't we have our own space where we could also emulate the same? And then he can be in charge of the coffee, whilst I can be in charge of what sort of dessert that, because I love cakes. So yeah, that was why we came up with Double A Cafe.
As for me, when we had this cafe hop culture thing going, I was interested to understand better what goes into my cup of coffee. So from just being a coffee drinker, I started taking lessons. And the natural progression from just making your own cup of coffee is to see whether you're good enough to sell it.
Okay.
Hence the idea of opening our own shop.
Now you guys still have your jobs, right? So how does it work? You know, I mean, is that difficult to manage, right? Straight after work to the cafe?
Yes, yeah. Usually that's the case. So every day after work, we finish on average about 8 or 9. And then we'll go straight to the cafe. We close at about 12. And then on weekends, we're there and we are the cashiers. We are the person serving. So we have very supportive colleagues. We have very supportive employers. So that has made it very easy for us.
Okay, so there are no plans to give up the day job just yet.
I love my job. No.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, we both love our jobs, and opening Double A was us pursuing our passion outside the corporate world to actually expand our comfort zone, see what we can do in F&B world.
And I think that's really great, right? Because you're able to pursue your interests elsewhere. You actually love your job more. Apply certain things that you from the business into the work.
Yeah. I guess it goes both ways as well. So we're an employee in our corporate sector, but we have to become an employer in our business. So it's more of trying to see what we have learned as well in the corporate world. How can we actually do the same for our business to make it run efficiently?
Okay. Yeah. So starting this business, were there a lot of naysayers? Say, what? Why do you want to do this? Usually from the relatives.
Yes, we did have that. But I guess we wanted to challenge ourselves as well. And we're very impatient people, so we can't really sit still. We get bored.
Okay, so what were the naysayers saying? I mean, it's not like if you gave up a job, but what were they saying when you decided to do this and say, hey, don't do this? What were they saying?
I think the key comment from the naysayers is that the F&B world, it's like a red ocean. It's very low barriers of entry. Everybody can do it. So how are you doing things differently? So when we started, we actually assessed the market and we saw a niche on what we could do. And then we took time to analyze the situation. I think we did it well.
Okay. Yeah. So what was that niche in this red ocean space?
When we first started Double A, we wanted to differentiate ourselves from all the other cafes, because obviously the cafe scene is mushrooming everywhere here in Malaysia. So we thought, how can we actually differentiate ourselves? So instead of competing with the other cafes, we came up with a business model whereby we actually select home bakers who does not have any physical stores, but their bakes are doing very, very well. So we thought, like, why not we become a platform, a one-stop center whereby we carry branded cakes and customers can actually come into Double A Cafe and actually buy in slices. So you just come into Double A and you can get a few brands in slices, and you can even make a whole cake made up of different brands instead of, you know, sometimes some of these home bakers, they're so famous that the lead time is like 4 months.
Wow.
So you can't wait for 4 months just to get some really awesome cake, right? So you just come to Double A Cafe and can get any brand that you want.
Okay.
Yeah, on the spot.
Okay, so you are helping them move from online to offline.
Yeah.
Correct. Online to offline. Yeah.
So it's true, right? Sometimes you like that cake, but I don't really need a whole cake unless it's a birthday or whatever. Yeah. So you just want to try a slice so you can get it at your plate. So no one else is sort of doing this at the moment.
When we started, there were not many people that we actually know who has been doing it.
Mm.
I think the key thing about what we observed at the point when we opened was that it's this whole idea that the whole concept of collaboration should be our competitive advantage.
Okay.
So when we had a look at home bakers on their Instagram, we saw that there was a mismatch between what the majority of the customers want and what they could actually provide. And we became that platform that actually, like we collaborated with home bakers to actually provide a platform to actually meet customer demand.
Okay. Yeah. So how many home bakers do you work with?
So far, up to date, today, we've collaborated with almost 15.
Okay.
Because what we do is that we not only collaborate for desserts, but we started doing also kitchen takeovers.
Ah.
So there are some months where our kitchen, we will put a stop to our kitchen, but we bring in other brands from outside. They take over our kitchen. So all the food comes from them.
Ah.
And it's not from us. So I think it's more of because they don't have a restaurant. Mm. So if they take over our kitchen, our customers can also get their food.
Yeah.
I see. So you're doing so right now. There is someone doing the cooking. If you're not working with external parties,
yes, we have our in-house cooks.
Okay, so I know you. How many people do you have working with you?
Around about 10 now, part-timers plus full-timers.
So what has that been the most interesting part of running the F&B business, dealing with staff? Now you're on the other side.
Yes, staff is always the biggest challenge for us because people come, people go. You expect the same talent pool like you get in the corporate world, but F&B is very, very different. So there is a lot of trying to match what you want with the people that the talent that you can hire, because obviously when you work in corporate, you're like, okay, I tell you A, you'll just do A, right? But obviously in F&B it's a little bit more different because they're more artistic. So if you tell them to do the food this way, they're like, oh no, I think it should be the other way because it looks prettier that way. It should be I don't know, more salt, more pepper, like yeah. So it's very subjective when it comes to taste as well. Yeah.
So what was the learning for you, Ayman?
The learning for me was in managing people,
okay.
I think.
So both of you handle people, okay?
Yes. I think as owners, I think managing people will be one of the most important things that you'll be doing as a business owner. And I think the refreshing experience for me was to actually be able to handle a different set of a different talent pool from what I'm so used to at work.
Because you'll be dealing a lot with engineers.
Yeah, right, yeah. Because like in the corporate world, you take people who are highly motivated, highly educated for granted. And people who are in F&B may not necessarily be from that talent pool.
Right. Yeah. Okay. They're educated in a different way.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. They're more vocational, and so it's a different kind of motivation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So and also, when you look at the design of your place, a cafe, who came up with the look and feel?
We had assistance from consultants to be able to advise on what's a good design for the operations, for the aesthetics. But when it comes to the overall look and feel, when we opened the shop, we basically wanted to interpret the place from the design to the drinks menu to the food menu to basically what Alia and Ayman likes.
Mm.
So that was our key guiding principle.
Because we know we were going to be there every day, right?
Yeah.
So it has to be something that we like as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it's a lot of whites, a lot of greens,
a lot of glass because we wanted natural lights. But we actually also got inputs from friends who told us, oh, you know, if you're a cafe, you need to have a lot of natural lights and stuff like that, like white background. But we wanted a space where people would come and they would enjoy their time, that they would stay for a while.
Okay.
It feels comfortable.
And order more cakes.
Yeah.
So the selling thing there would be the cakes and the coffee.
Yes.
And not so much the meals.
The meal, yes. Okay. We have this thing that is very famous at the moment, which is the Double Trouble Fries.
Mm.
So that's one of our best seller.
Double Trouble Fries.
Yes.
What's in that?
So it's basically on a sizzling hot plate. It's fries loaded with cheese and jalapeno beef bacon. All the fattening stuff, all the calories are on that single plate.
That's breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yes.
Okay. Right. I know that you also, use a lot of social media, online media. Instagram has been very successful for you guys. We'll talk about that after this. I'm here with Ayman Syed Jaffar and Alia Ishak from Double A Cafe. You're listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Bloggers for Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's A La Carte Tuesday on Open for Business. I'm Frida Liu. I'm Ansaid Jaffar and Ala Ishak from Double A Cafe. They're here with me, still holding on to the job as well, opening this cafe over a year ago. You know, one of the things you came about was the strategy of working with famous home bakers, large following on online media, and now people can get to try a slice without having to order a whole cake at your place, online to offline. And you found that Instagram has worked really well for you.
Yeah.
Right. How did you come upon that? Was that something you learned along the way, or, you know, what was the strategy behind that?
So when we started, we were very clear on the target demographic that we were targeting. So we are young adults. We wanted to target other young adults. At the same time, after identifying that we would like to leverage on the popularity of these home bakers who are big on social media, we realized that we ourselves, we need to have a big presence on social media. Hence, we put a lot of thought to curating our Instagram and our Facebook.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, and what strategies did you use? What did you find was effective?
I think there was a lot of, what we saw was that there was a lot of value add when it comes to social media, in the sense that we could tap on their followers, at the same time they could tap on our followers. So it was a two-way marketing for both sides. And obviously if we collaborated with more brands, then it was more marketing. It was a wider marketing for us.
Okay.
And then at the same time, I think when it comes to like timing of the Instagram, timing of the post, what sort of pictures it has to be, those are very important because, for example, like, I work in the corporate world, so at 11:30, 11:45, I'm like, what should I have for lunch, right? Mm. So even though AA is not open yet at the time, we open at 12, we know that
that's when
a certain post needs to be up at a certain time so that when people see it, they're like, why don't we go there for lunch? Because we want to have it, or we want to try that. Okay. And it has actually worked. And we realized that marketing on Instagram can actually translate into sales because we have a lot of customers who come in and show us the picture and say that I actually want this. Yeah.
Okay, so and you've got your staff doing that as well.
Yes, we have a team.
Okay, and so with your staff, do you hire any foreigners?
We don't. Okay. We only hire Malaysians.
Okay, and that's a philosophy.
It's our philosophy. It's what we consider to be our nation building.
Okay, nation building.
Our contribution to society.
Okay, and they are appreciative. And what is the culture that you want to inculcate at AA?
A happy and cheerful team. Okay. Yeah, because for us, we believe that if you're happy and you love your job, you will actually wake up happy wanting to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, because we're a customer service, right? The vibe needs to be very positive and very cheerful. So I think when we interview candidates, we actually make it very clear to them that we want you to have certain sort of traits when you work in AA.
Okay.
So, I think one of the most rewarding things that I've observed is when people are happy at their work, they actually they manifest other talents that can actually value add to the business. For example, when we interview, we are looking for people with people who are people's person, people who can sell. And one particular staff actually came out having a beautiful handwriting, who can write calligraphy, which actually adds on to the vibe and feel of the cafe, which is a plus.
Because he'll write things on the board and all that.
And we only found out about his talent because he was engaged at work. He was highly motivated at work.
And when you say they're happy and all that, so what do you do to ensure that, you know, that they'll stay on the career roadmap? What do you ensure that you're looking for happy, but you also have to be the one to help provide that happy? So what do you do? Iman.
Oh, okay. What do we do? I think as employers, we need to actually have conversations with our staff, and we need to prompt those conversations. Like how I mentioned earlier, where it is a different talent pool. They may not be the kind of people who walk up to you and actually tell you what they're feeling about their day. Hence, it's our role as owners to prompt them how you are doing and have these conversations with them. And I can see that when you do speak to them, sometimes they just want an avenue to speak to their boss about a particular day, and it works.
So just being there for them. And what do you do in terms of recognition?
In terms of recognition, going back to the whole idea of social media, what we've realized is that for this talent pool, more so for this talent pool, is that money is not always a good way to reward. There are other ways to reward people within this talent pool, and what we observed was that even the simple act of featuring them on our social media feed, our Instagram and Facebook, gets them appreciative. That they see that they get the visibility and recognition at work.
Yeah. Okay, and then how many Instagram followers do you have at the moment?
How many do we have? Yeah. I think about close to 13,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, most of your customers will be around the area, or do you have people traveling far and wide?
We actually have all the way from Brunei as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think it's because our customers are mostly Instagram customers. Uh-huh. So when they see it, they come. Yeah, but obviously we also have the SIMW offices around there. Okay. So we also get all the office workers who come for lunch.
Okay, is it as busy in the evenings? Is there a large residential area there?
It is a mixed development. Mm-hmm. So our busy times are during lunchtime, where we get the office crowd, and in the evening for dinner, because the shop is actually within a mixed development, where it's condominiums on top.
I see. Yeah. Mm. So what's been most enjoyable about doing this business for you guys?
I think to me, when just opening the shop, it's enjoyable because you prove yourself right, you know what I mean? You prove yourself wrong. It's an excellent learning process.
Okay.
You learn that you are wrong in certain things, and you learn you are right in other things.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What have you been wrong about?
That would be in managing people. I realized that just because you have done and you've managed people in the corporate world, it doesn't mean that the skill set is transferable in having your own business. And for us in FMB, I think this is what we've learned.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think in my case, it's more of from not being able to bake, because sometimes we're short of staff, you are needed to go down to the ground, right? So we start learning to bake, we start learning to cook, because we get full house and we are short-handed. Okay. So I think that's kind of fun, because you also get to know your staff better, and they're like, oh, okay, if your boss can cook as well, they find you as a friend.
Right.
So I think that is like the most enjoyable experience.
Okay, so your advice for aspiring F&B entrepreneurs, what would it be?
For aspiring F&B entrepreneurs, I would say just do it.
Just do it, yes. Yeah.
But of course, you have to do a lot of research as well. Yeah.
How long was your research before you started this?
Ours was about 3-4 months, yeah. But we actually had a lot of help from other cafe owners. To be fair, they were actually very, very helpful. There were other cafe owners who came up to us, gave us CVs, because we did not have enough staff in the beginning.
Wow.
We didn't have F&B background, so they told us, oh, this is where you should look for the chairs, this is where you should look for the tables. So there were a lot of advice and a lot of help which we got from also our cafe owners in KL.
The cafe owner community is very small and it's very tight-knit. Yeah. I think the whole idea is, if you are in need of help, there will always be people who are like yourself who you can reach out to.
Okay, yeah. And of course, the other place that you can get help will be the Enterprise Takeaway. I have to sell this. Happening on July 28th. Go to bfm.my/takeaway for that. Thanks for being with us, guys. I'm Ansaid Jaffar and Alia Ishak from AA Cafe. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.